is The Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
DGS on KMOX. This is supposed to start raining pretty soon here. Dave Murray will be on in a couple hours. Let us know how the weather's going to be this week. I think Wednesday is the only clear day. Other than that, it's just a lot of rain. No severe weather like we've been having, but also no outdoor stuff. Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. Where do you guys want to go? You want to do a little on the silly side? I got a little bit of everything for the possibilities
start
today.
Silly.
All right. So this is a sports related thing, and I've had it on the sheet for a while, but I find it to be a fascinating thing. So guy that used to play in the NBA named Austin Rivers was on a podcast and made the argument that he thinks more guys from the NBA could just jump into the NFL and show well as football players as opposed to football players trying to jump into the NBA. He thinks the football players would have a harder time going. First of all, it's a stupid argument, which is the point that I really wanted to make. Because as we talked about just a little bit ago, the level of expertise it takes to be good at these things is stunning. I mean, yes, there are, all of these sports, these guys are all great athletes. I have watched great athletes try to play baseball and look like total doofuses, right? Because one doesn't always translate very easily to the other, and there are very few that have spent enough time in more than one to look like they're not out of place if they jump into another, right? It's why Deion Sanders stands out. It's why Bo Jackson stood out. Because it's very rare that anybody can do that kind of thing. But I'm just, what I wanted to bring up for this topic is not so much to get into this argument, because I think it's ridiculous. But is there any other realm where we make these kinds of arguments?
Right.
Right? Like, well, that guy's a great guitarist, but I bet he can't drum. I bet drummers can play better guitar. Like, is there anywhere else but sports where we just make the dumbest arguments for no reason?
Do you think it's because most of us have played them to some degree?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
But we're so delusional about that.
Yeah. I mean, like, there are definitely players that are in the NBA that would be talented enough to play in the NFL, right? They're big, they're fast, they're strong. But they've not spent their lives getting hit. They've not spent their lives going through a car accident every week, recovering, and then doing it again. And there are guys in the NFL that were phenomenal high school basketball players. Some of them were college basketball players. And they probably not look ridiculous, but they're not going to be good in the NBA. There's a reason they're not playing at that, right? Like, everybody is going to look a little awkward. And, of course, they'd all look dorky playing hockey because none of them skate. But, like, I tried thinking about this because I was like, why do we do this? Because as
right.
a sports talk radio guy, I've done these discussions, and I'm usually the guy that craps on them. The guy's like, this is stupid. Like, the argument you'll hear, would Alabama be better than the worst NFL team? No, the NFL team's all grown men. They're not 18-year-old kids. Like, no, there's no comparison. Why do we have these dumb debates? And it's 2024. But I guess it's just that people have to fill the time.
In law school, the top 10-15% of the class are on what's called the law review. So they write for the law, the publication. I was not law review. And I've never once said to one of my friends, lawyer or otherwise, man, if I'd have just studied a little more. Really could have brought home that law review. I never even thought about it. I'm like, oh yeah, those guys are smarter than me.
But when
it comes to sports, I'll ask Ricky Horton. Had I practiced more? Could I have played in the pros?
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's like, this is okay. We're comparing the top 1% of the top 1%, like we talked about with baseball earlier. The top 1% of the top 1% of basketball players are the NBA players. Same thing for the NFL. And people are going to have this argument and be serious about it. And I don't understand. Like, is there any other realm where we do this?
No.
Like, you know, barbecue chef could be a sushi chef better than a sushi chef could be a barbecue chef. Like, I don't know of any other area where we do
this.
But
when you say it, I'm intrigued. There's something.
Should we do that?
In our brain. There's something in our brain that I'm like, no, it'd be much easier to be a barbecue chef than a sushi chef. Yeah. I'm doing the math.
Yeah, and what I don't know is maybe it's just because I'm in the sports world more, right? All of my social media is basically sports. And we do this, but are people doing this in other things?
It's that. I think it's more that you played college baseball, because the higher level you do anything, the more you understand it. And so, again,
this guy played in the NBA.
There's no way that I can't say I'm not analogizing what I do to what they do, because I'm clearly am. But I've spent 24 years getting email from people saying, like, you think you're so great. You think you're so funny. My brother-in-law's funnier than you. And when I do answer, I'll say, you're probably right. You're probably right. But there are very successful stand-ups who I think I'm naturally funnier than, but I don't do what they do. They do what they do so much better than I could ever do it, mostly because they've been doing it for 20, 30 years. See?
Yeah. No, there's an art to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
the numbers. Like, the numbers. So this all comes. Wheels and I went to Busch Stadium today. We got to play catch and play long toss and then take batting practice. And Wheels and I were playing shortstop together, and each of us took, you know.
That sounds weird.
Well, it would have taken both of us to play shortstop.
Definitely, yeah.
And it wasn't my first grounder. It was probably not my millionth grounder if I go all the way back. But it was my first major league grounder in a major league field. And it's like catching a grounder on a billiards table.
Yeah, or a parking lot.
It was
fast.
Impossibly fast.
Yeah. And
really gives you a newfound respect.
It's just a funny thing that even people like this guy, Austin Rivers, played in the NBA. His dad played in the NBA. I mean, like, he's been around it his whole life. And it's like, do you not get that this doesn't work? It's like when people make the arguments about, you think the guys from the 1950s could play now? Well, no, not unless they trained like the people
that,
now.
Given what he said, okay, but which you think is more true? That an NBA guy could make the NFL or an NFL guy could make the NBA?
If I'm going to play the game, I'm going to say that the NFL guy can translate better to the NBA game simply because of the contact.
Abuse.
Because you're just not used to getting the crap beat out of you. You have to be doing that to be used to it. The analogy I would make is, if we want to compare it, it's like putting skates on somebody and say, go play hockey. Well, if you don't skate, you're not going to be able to go play hockey. And that's a pretty vital thing. Well, in football, part of it is getting the living crap beat out of you. All right, so I had a separate sports topic that was tied into this, so I figured I'll throw this in together because they somewhat tie together. They're not the same thing. So I don't know if you guys have seen this story. Maybe you saw my story on the rundown. But a 14-year-old kid signed a professional contract with the Philadelphia Union in MLS. Okay. His name is Kevin Sutherland or Kevin Sutherland. It's C-A-V-A-N. I haven't checked to see what the pronunciation. Maybe it's Kevin. I don't know. But he's 14 years old. He signed a 4-year deal, and they are placing him on the first team roster.
So he's
going to
play.
Which means that it sounds like he's going to play against the grown men. Now, his brother is on the roster already. He's got an older brother. But this is a kid, 14 years. Now, when you look at him, he looks like he's 18. Okay, his facial structure looks like he's older than he is. It's not like LeBron. When you saw LeBron at 16, it's like, that guy's 30. It's not like that, but you can tell he's physically advanced for his age. Does that strike you in any way that a 14-year-old can sign a professional contract to play sports? I don't have a problem with it. In fact, you know, I mean, we have child actors, we've got musicians that are children, we've got all kinds of people that are talented performers that can get paid to do it in other walks of life, artists, whatever. But I find it interesting that other sports don't allow that. Like, you can't do that with a baseball player in the United States. You can't do that with a football player. An NFL team couldn't go to a 14-year-old and say, we're going to sign you to a contract, and in 6 years, you'll play for us. We can't do that, but that's the structure in soccer. That's the way it's done. Does that hit you in any way that a 14-year-old is in that commitment? Because what typically a serious 14-year-old would be doing is playing at the highest levels, training at the highest levels, but paying to do it as opposed to being paid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Man, I think as long as he has a supportive network around him, there shouldn't be a problem. But if, like, mom and dad are involved and he has a good manager and a good agent making sure he's not getting taken advantage of or anything, yeah, I don't really see a problem with it.
So they're not signing him to play in the future. He's going to play now.
Well, I mean, you start training and all of that now. I mean, I don't know enough about it to know what that means when they say they're placing him on the first team roster. That doesn't mean he's in the starting lineup, to my understanding. It just means that he trains with the big boys. But he's probably, my guess would be that he's going to do some version of homeschool as opposed to just going to school, which, again, a lot of kids are doing. I mean, that's not an uncommon thing. 30 years ago, it was more uncommon. It's not an uncommon thing anymore for, you know, whether it's an athlete or anybody else. I mean, that's what happens with the child actors when they're making movies. They have tutors. They go through it all that way.
But they the thing about the child actors they have very strict rules about how much schoolwork they should be doing per day. I wonder if that translates to soccer.
I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't know how that, I don't know. I think that that's an industry thing that was forced. Yeah.
Practicing with these 30-year-olds.
As a 14-year-old
kid. And then you have to go do your algebra.
Yeah. but could you, I mean, think about it. Put yourself 14 in anything and you've got to go compete against 25-year-olds. That's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's good because these are all of the big European clubs were apparently recruiting. Like they were all sniffing around.
Is he American?
Yeah, he's an American kid. The team that he signed with the Philadelphia Union is his favorite team, which is why he chose them, I think. And his brothers, like I said, his brothers in the organization. But it's such an interesting difference. And, you know, we don't restrict by age people who have talents and typically, but in sports we do. Mm-hmm. You know, baseball player cannot sign with a major league team at 14. You can't sign until after you're out of high school, unless you're from the Dominican, and then you can sign when you're 16. Or not just the Dominican, any international person. Anybody that's not from the U.S., Canada, or Puerto Rico can sign at age 16. But and those other places, you got to be out of high school. And it's just weird to me that you have these rules. But in soccer, that's not that crazy. I mean, do you remember years and years ago, a guy named Freddie Adu?
Mm-hmm.
He was that. He was like 14 or 15 when he signed, and he didn't end up being the next greatest thing, but I mean, he's still a professional soccer player.
How old do you have to be to play
I don't
baseball?
Know. Play in the big leagues? Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as, I mean, at whatever. So if you were from San Pedro de Macorís in the Dominican, and you signed as a 16-year-old, technically they could promote you that day.
Wow.
I mean, they could. Nobody would, but they could. So the minute you're signed with a team, you are eligible to play in the major leagues.
I think if I were that kid's parent, it would be managing their career because you still have to because they're a minor.
Yeah.
And trying to decide whether this was the best chance of him having lifelong success or if holding him out another couple of years. I guess it comes down to like ripping your knees up lottery. And if you are, you know, you're playing against some hack 14-year-old and they injure you, then there goes your dynasty.
That risk exists no matter what level you're playing, right? I mean, I've seen it at youth levels where kid's just not doing anything wrong and twists his knee and now he's out for a year or whatever. I mean, like we've seen that happen before. But like when you're looking at this, when you're weighing this, keep in mind, this is millions of dollars. So at 14, you have financial security forever if you manage it correctly. If you just take most of it and invest it, and then you invest in tutors and homeschooling, some version of that, and then you're getting paid to train, right? You're not paying for that anymore. It's no longer an expense. So you've got a chance to get ahead of the game. I don't see why not.
Do you see the local guy who's about to qualify for the PGA?
Oh, I did see something
about
that.
He's like 32. And he's obviously incredibly good, but he didn't pick a golf club up between 18 and 24 years old.
Yeah.
Didn't play.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
There are people that have done that, and I know of people. I'm trying to think of a famous example, but there are definitely people that walked away from a sport for a period of time.
Do you think,
and then came back to it and ended up being at the highest level. The
golfers are going to hate me for saying this. Do you think golf is the most reasonable way into professional sports for someone born normal?
Physically normal? Sure. Right, because it's more, I mean, don't get me wrong, power matters, right? Everything where you have a distance to cover, the further you can hit the ball, the better you're going to have a chance. But skill matters more. I mean, if you can putt, if you can place the, I've watched these guys, man, they can say in advance, all right, I'm going to hit this ball this with this club with a 70% swing. This is going to be 100 yards right on the dot, and I'm going to hit it so that it draws back toward the hole because that's an incline, and it'll happen, and they can just do it. Like they can do that like you and I can roll it to where we want to, and it's much more about skill than just physical ability, but those guys do have special physical skill.
But I can do that on Mario Golf.
Yeah.
Very
pretty
nice.
Well.
I can do it at the putt-putt course.
Oh, I hate putt-putt.
Yeah, I got the timing on the windmill, and I get it every time.
Putt-putt's the biggest lie. You're in the Ozarks or Jupiter or something, you're like, putt-putt! And like by the third hole, it just blows.
I love it.
Do you?
I do.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be way too slow for you.
It is, but You know, it's recreation.
You compensate by screaming?
I do. Let's go!
I need a real one.
Okay.
We have two bathrooms. One is a normal public bathroom with two urinals and two sit-downers. That one, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, right? You walk in and it's every man for himself. Then we have the executive bathroom on the C-suite where Rach and I have our office, and it just has one toilet and one sink. And when you walk up and there's someone in there, when they walk out and you walk in, you know who's responsible for whatever you walk into.
Yeah.
When you walk up and that door's closed, is it rude to stand there and wait so that you make eye contact with that person? Is it better to kind of float off a little bit?
I don't think it's rude to stand there and wait, but I personally, when I see the closed door, I'm like, I don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, because I just did it, and I walked out, and someone was standing there waiting for me, and I wanted to be like...
It wasn't me.
The guy before... Yeah, I really did. I wanted to be like, the guy before me, is like, it's terrible when I walked in.
I was holding my breath the whole time.
Walk out like, do not go
Steve
in there.
Moore, total Steve Moore.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never thought of
it. I do the same thing. I don't stand and wait for someone.
Yeah, I don't want that awkward moment of like...
Oh, hey!
Right. I'm just going to go use the same toilet you just used. Have a good one.
My butt's going to be right where your butt
yep.
was. I
hope you kept the seat warm.
Isn't
for
that
me.
Interesting?
Oh, that's great.
Fascinato.
Yeah, that's a good question. I never thought of that one. I don't use that one very often, and when I do, it's at night, nobody's here.
Well, you're probably not allowed to.
I mean, I didn't do anything wrong.
This is like
but,
your press credentials.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
GS on KMOX. So before doing 4 years on KMOX, I did 20 years on 97.1 FM Talk. And for much of that, my news director was Jason Church. Then he got the offer of all offers to go across the river and to be the everything of WSIE, the station over there at SIU. And then we just found each other again over some issue. And I said, hey, you need to come in and play around with this. So he's here. And it's great to see you, my brother.
Yeah, man. This is awesome. Thanks for having me on.
We had some times.
Oh, it was a fun time, I got to tell you. I was just talking to somebody the other day about the whole Pointer-saurus incident that Andrew and I had. I couldn't believe that. This guy is sitting there like, oh, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. He eats like six slices of this thing. And it was horrible.
Pointer's Pizza has the, is it called that? Is that what it's called? It's something like that.
Yeah.
And it would fit between where you and Jason are sitting, but just barely.
Oh, wow.
It's enormous.
Wow. Huge.
And if you finish it,
let's go.
You don't pay and you get $500.
Oh.
One of my friends did it. And when Jason and Andrew heard it, they're like, easy peasy. This is easy money. Now, Jason really needed that money. And he ate 3/4 of that pizza.
I was sick for 3/4 days.
Yeah.
So probably what was left was maybe a large pizza, like a regular large thin crust pizza.
That's what was left over. So it's thin, though, right?
Andrew had like 3 pieces. I'd never seen someone food drunk before. I was worried about my boy. He was stumbling around and saying crazy stuff. And
sunglasses on.
King of the world. And I thought Church Dog was going to beat his ass.
You know, Jason, you were also present for the world's hottest chocolate affair.
Was it Kiefer? Rob that did that? Yeah.
I just remember Andrew and I both eating too much of the world's hottest chocolate and Jason like swooping in with milk for us, like saving our lives.
Then there was Jason, who's a big dude, chasing Andrew, who's
a big dude,
through the office. Was Andrew wearing a football helmet?
Yes,
he was. I think you got it off of eBay.
Yes, and I've never seen two big guys move that fast. And then didn't you blow your leg up or something?
Yes. Yeah, I had to wear an ace bandage around that thing for like 3 weeks afterwards.
Uh-oh. Hammy?
Yeah, blew something out. I don't know what it was, but it hurt.
Andrew just disappeared. Like, it's a, he would have been dead, and at some point he just disappeared. So, WSIE, it's been around forever. Give us, like, the history, and then tell us, bring us up to date. What are you guys are doing over there?
Yeah, so basically, WSIE's been on the air since September 4th, 1970. We're almost to 55 years coming up this next year. And I've been over there since 2018. It's been one hell of a ride so far. I absolutely love every second of it. Keeps us busy, though. We've got two full-timers that run the place. It's the Heritage Jazz Station in St. Louis. That's where everybody's gone to over the years. We've had a few come and go, but that's been there the whole time. And we are all publicly funded. It's an NPR music station here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Basically, we get funding for the thing through donations. We get it through underwriting, which is kind of like commercials, but not really. And we do a hell of a job over there, I think. It is so much fun. Myself and Robin Boyce, which is my salesperson, we're busting tail over there 24/7 to make it work. We've got a big music series that we've got coming up. Can I talk about that for a second? So the music series that we've got, it's going to be a huge fundraiser for the station. We've got several acts coming in, and we go beyond jazz now. We're not just jazz anymore. We do a little bit of R&B, some blues, some yacht rock, anything that kind of fits that mood. You know what I'm saying? So this music series, we've got Lady J. Houston coming in on the fourth Saturday of May over in Collinsville at Old Herald Brewery and Distillery. It's a nice outdoor amphitheater. All of the proceeds go to the radio station. Suggested donation of $10 per person at the door when we do these things. And then in June, we've got a jazz band coming in, Soul Cafe. July is going to be Black Magic, the Santana Experience. August, the Yacht Rockers. And then September, we've got Deacon Dan, a tribute to Steely Dan, coming in. So it's a nice spread, you know what I mean?
So when I was at SIU, I was telling you I was a waiter at the University Club, and I used to wait on Radio Rich, and the main professor for the radio program. And, you know, even back then, that's what I wanted to do. I just didn't think that real people got to do it.
Yeah.
And here I find myself. But now you say they no longer have the programs for TVR, but you guys still teach the kids.
Yes. So that is one of our many tasks at hand, is aside from playing the jazz and the other good music, we are a training ground, a hands-on training ground for students who are interested in going into broadcasting, whether it's TV, radio, podcasting, whatever. And we've got 36 student volunteers that come down, and they take on shifts. They come down, they do production, they help us out with sales, they do social media, any aspect you could think of running a radio station, they've got their hands on it, which is a great thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How you like SIU?
I love it over there, man. I mean, it's a great environment. Still a lot of nature over there and stuff. Every time I drive down Route 3, I see South Roxana, and I think of you. So there you go. But it's a really, really nice place to be. And everybody's very supportive. It's great because as I'm over there doing my thing, the people that run the ship over there are just basically like, church knows what he's doing. Let him do his thing.
That's good.
And it's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah. We have a great time over there.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Do you ever have people like me or Wheels or Rage come over and like talk to the kids or give presentations? Or
matter of fact, our old buddy Donnie Fandango came by a while back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And we have a few other folks in the industry that come over, a lot of TV folks.
Yeah.
We've got one of our engineers, Teresa Pauly. She used to be with KMOV for years. And so she brings over a lot of those folks. Most of them are SIUE alums, but we get a few other folks in occasionally. Yeah.
What year did you join 97?
97-1 was, that was 2008.
Okay.
So I was here about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I had a great time over there, man. That I mean, talk about a family of folks that really
gave a crap.
It didn't
feel like a job.
No, it didn't.
Because it kind of wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. Just everybody having fun.
It was really like people trying to get fired from a job. At least on the DGS it was.
I wasn't trying to get fired.
I was trying to get you fired. I was trying to get everyone fired.
I used to love it because I'd be the straight news guy in there, and Glover's like, so Church, what do you think about this Donald Trump guy? And I'm like, ugh. I can't talk about that, man. Come on.
Yeah, that was the least of our worries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
If people want to get involved with WSIE, what do they do?
Real easy. There's a direct link, WSIE.com/support. And that is a tax deductible donation. They can do recurring contributions. They can do a one-time donation. Every little bit helps us. That's what I always say. Even if it's $5, I mean, we'll take it, and it helps, get us to our mission.
Cool, so, brother. Yeah. Good to see you, man.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Tom Ackerman. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
47DGS. Looks like from what I'm reading on CNN up there that it's been a big day at the Trump trial. If Michael Cohen is to be believed, of course, it's a big if. He's saying some really damaging things about Trump and just making those connections. He's not saying anything that hasn't been heard before as far as this happened and then this happened and we paid this woman this much, we paid this woman that much. But he's filling in the warm, gooey center of the chocolate chip cookie by saying that Donald Trump was not worried about Melania. He was worried about the election and he said, just go do it. So we'll catch up with the trial at the top of the hour. Then we have Skip coming in, going to do a couple of Elite Eight. Rach, CNN?
CNN plays too much for me.
A little too frivolous?
A little bit. So we have it on in the office a lot, and I just end up watching a lot of CNN passively, and they've been following this hush money trial just every inch of it, which, you know, is somewhat entertaining, but it really does come down to entertainment because you have this panel of guests on supposedly to do like legal analysis and political analysis of what's going on. And they end up making jokes or like getting in little digs about Donald Trump. And I get it. I am not a Donald Trump fan, but if I were on television there to recap what is supposed to be a serious matter, I wouldn't use that as an opportunity to point out what a POS I think he is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's just it. I'm just a little disappointed in the coverage. I think that you can cover this without making it about how much you personally hate Trump or how this confirms all these suspicions you've always had about him. And definitely without making these stupid jokes,
too. Don't you wish that if you brought someone who knew nothing about anything and you played them Fox News and you played them CNN and you played them MSNBC, wouldn't you... In a perfect world, hope that after a week of watching, they might be able to say, I think this Fox outlet is more conservative, and I think CNN is more liberal, but not by a whole bunch. 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. If you knew nothing about it, you would be able to identify in 10 minutes, like, oh, these guys are really spiking the ball when Trump does something stupid. These guys are covering for him when he does something. It's just so clear, which I find very disappointing.
Yeah, and the thing that really drives me nuts about the CNN coverage is they spend a lot of time talking about Fox and like, oh, pro-Trump media outlets, which means Fox News, they don't cover this or they don't do this. They spend all this time obsessing about what Fox is doing, and I'm sure Fox does the same thing. I just watch less of it. But the thing is, it's like CNN, you're clearly rooting for an outcome here. Mm-hmm. And I would like to just watch some unbiased coverage of what's happening in the courtroom. I don't need to know what you think is happening or what you think is happening based on, you know, all of these preconceived notions you have about Donald Trump. I have my own opinions about the guy. I don't need to hear your opinion. Mm-hmm. But I get that they're filling time. It's just what they do. It's just... whenever it's set up as, oh, we're going to have this very serious panel on, and then they end up joshing around the amount they do, it just makes me roll my eyes.
It's like the Super Bowl pregame shows.
Exactly. Yes. It's just
overdone,
speculating.
And look, if it's sports or it's movies or whatever, fine. It's entertainment. You know, be about that. But the biggest news providers are not news. I mean, do you think the old school anchors, the Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, do you think they were going to be in the middle of like a cheerleading section the middle of a newscast?
It's what I loved about both old CNN and old Fox. When it was my friend Tony Snow on Fox, it wasn't like this. It wasn't anything like this. And when it was the original OGs on CNN, it was not grab ass.
No.
It was not showing your cards. I mean, it was real journalism.
And unfortunately, we also don't have to label it correctly because none of what they're taking a story that is a news story, but they're not presenting the news part of it. You know, we're getting into the
you're right. Getting into the high school side of everything.
We're getting into the unserious parts, right? We're getting into, did Donald Trump fall asleep? Did he fart in court? Who cares? Who cares? The story is whether or not the law was broken. And what it means if it was. And if it wasn't, then he's going to walk free. But that's the news. That's the story. It's not about his poses, his sleepiness, or anything else. And, yeah. You know, the coverage of this thing is, I don't know when it started, you guys. Did this spring forth from the O.J. Simpson stuff? From
probably
the trial, the car chase, where they realized, holy crap, a lot more people will watch the news if it's not just the news. Mm-hmm. If it's a story, if it's sexy, if it's something. Because it wasn't before, if it was before that, it wasn't much before that when the change happened. But people realized we can make news into entertainment.
I think probably so for the genre. And then as much as I am not a Donald Trump fan, you cannot blame everything on one human being. It's just not no. It's just not possible. But I think when the Trump era started, that's when Fox went the way Fox went, and it's when CNN went the way CNN went. That when it became okay to cover non-serious stuff as if it were serious, they both did.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, people always talk about slippery slopes, but it's been going downhill for a long time.
It's been a while.
And I think was probably an accelerator right there.
And here's the thing. Someone could open a news outlet that was 2008-ish. I don't know if anyone would watch it. We all say that's what we want, but is it really what we still want? But CNN is not just going to suddenly become more newsy because they have created an appetite.
Well, yeah, I'm complaining about the programming that I'm seeing, but they're obviously getting ratings doing this. They're not going to spend all this time covering this trial unless this is what people want to see. Yeah. So I guess I'm just on an island here with you guys.
Yeah. Well, this kind of coverage is cheap.
Absolutely.
You don't have to do any in-depth reporting. You don't have to spend months putting together a story and flying around the world to find the biggest stories. You just have to turn on your screen and then comment on it.
It's the perfect storm because they're not out doing TMZ stuff. Well, they are.
Yeah, they kind of are.
But it's also about the president of the United States.
Right.
They really lucked out with Trump because if they were out there covering celebrities, we'd be like, well, who cares? Yeah. But they're covering the president of the United States in multiple felony trials. That is real news.
Yeah.
But so much of it is TMZ stuff, paying off porn stars and, you know, this kind of a deal, that it not only allows them, but almost requires them to cover the salacious stuff, which, of course, is like candy to them.
Mm-hmm.
Rach, gig workers are being abused.
Yeah, I saw this study that came out that says 1 in 5 food app delivery workers have been assaulted on the job.
What?
Yeah, 1 in 5. That's 20% of people who do this, you know, gig work, picking up food and delivering it to other people, have been assaulted. That is really scary. I also saw one a couple weeks ago. I think it was 1 in 3 Uber drivers have been in an accident while they were on the job. Just scary stuff. I mean, I'm glad that people have the opportunity to, you know, pick up extra work like this, but I just wish there were more protections for these people, mm-hmm. because they're in harm's way a lot of the time.
Yeah. Gig work is gig work.